Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Today, the weather in Greenville, Spartanburg, in the airport area, 73, downtown, 77, in Clemson, 76, and Anderson, it appears to be hazy down there. Today, partly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, humid with highs in the lower 90s, north winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming south this afternoon, chance of rain 50%.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Quite a morning, as America has ended, at least free America. Well, free America ended actually a long time ago. It ended right around 1865 when Robert E. Lee surrendered his forces to General Ulysses S. Grant in the second war for American independence. And it's been downhill ever since then, but we've seen little signs of freedom still popping up their beautiful heads throughout the last 150 years or so. Well, whatever it might be, 140 years. But at any rate, yesterday, what were we talking about yesterday? CAFTA passed the House. CAFTA passed by 217 to 215. Your congressman, Bob Inglis, was one of the ones that voted yes. He sold out to his campaign promises, sold out his people, sold out Americans. It's time to remember that, just like we remembered Beasley and what he did in selling out the Southern cause and going against his campaign promise to not take down the flag. Folks, here's another guy, another traitor, Bob Inglis. And what we need to do is make sure next time he comes up for election, he does not get elected. Another year and, a little over a year and he'll come up again. He needs to be out, completely out. How long are you folks going to put up with Republicans? I mean, these Republicans continually do things to undermine America, to pad their own pockets, to go with their own personal power, to play party politics, to go along with George W. Bush. It's just scandalous. Here's a letter from Pastor Tony Romo. Well, W. did it again. He pulled it off. He also pulled the rug right from under us. Constitutionalist, are we ready to now take it seriously? Let's get busy and get folks to realize the wickedness that presides in our government. Their very oath has become a matter of technicality. It's nothing more than a ceremonial ritual that means absolutely nothing to anyone. That is the ultimate in perjury. How much longer can our republic survive this onslaught by neocons and liberals? Probably not much longer. Check out the link at Covenant News. Let's get busy. Our next Constitution Party meeting is on August 18th at Sims Library at 7 p.m. Bring at least one person with you and pack the place out. I really hope that August 18th is not still the third Thursday and not going to conflict with League of the South. But anyway, because I thought that was going to be fixed. And maybe I'll get one of my producer here to just find out when August 18th is exactly. We'll get a calendar out. We'll see when that was. Or is going to be, excuse me. Here's what Covenant News has to say. In Bush win, House narrowly approves CAFTA. Republicans approve CAFTA. The House narrowly approved the Central American Free Trade Agreement early Thursday, a personal triumph for President Bush, who campaigned aggressively for the accord and said it would foster prosperity and democracy in the hemisphere. The 217 to 215 vote just after midnight adds six Latin American countries to the growing list of nations with free trade agreements with the United States and averts what could have been major political embarrassment for the Bush administration. It was an uphill effort to win a majority, with Bush traveling to Capitol Hill earlier in the day to appeal to wavering Republicans to support a deal he said was critical to U.S. national security. Give me a break. CAFTA completely undermines the sovereignty of the United States. Not only is it not for U.S. national security, it promotes United States insecurity. It allows separate judicial bodies to have authority over American courts. It's simply a globalist, socialist regulatory scheme. It has nothing to do with free trade. And we've got it now. Looks like they'll probably end up getting the FTAA as well, because they'll try to get that quickly before people can see the true effects of CAFTA. Anyway, Bush hailed the vote, it says. He says CAFTA helps ensure that free trade is fair trade. He said in a statement issued by the White House, by lowering trade barriers to American goods in Central America, markets to level now enjoyed their goods in the U.S., this agreement will level the playing field and help American workers, farmers, and small businesses. The United States signed the accord known as CAFTA a year ago with Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and the Dominican Republic, and the Senate approved it last month. Now it goes to the President for his signature. Yeah, I guess he'll sign it, won't he? To capture a majority, supporters had to overcome what some have called free trade fatigue, a growing sentiment that free trade deals such as a North American free trade agreement with Mexico and Canada have contributed to a loss of well-paying American jobs and the soaring trade deficit. Democrats, who were overwhelmingly against CAFTA, also argued that its labor rights provisions were weak and would result in exploitation of workers in Central America. But supporters pointed out that CAFTA would over time eliminate tariffs and other trade barriers that impede U.S. sales to the region, correcting the current situation in which 50% or 80% of Central American goods enter the United States duty-free, but Americans must pay heavy tariffs. Well, it's now the so-called law of the land, folks, so like it or not, you're a CAFTA province now. We're one of the provinces of CAFTA. And what's going to happen to our economy? Who knows? Guess you'd wait and see. What else can you do? If you have a question or comment about CAFTA, we'd love to talk to you about it this morning. Be good. I wish we could get Stephen Yates on the line, Dr. Yates. We may try to call him here during a break and see if we can't get him on the show to give us his insight into this CAFTA business. If you have a question or comment for the show, please do call 864-244-8177. You can also reach us on our other line, which is 864-201-6955. What else is happening in the news while we're thinking of CAFTA? So I feel badly for all the folks who were campaigning for CAFTA so hardly. The John Birch Society, some others around the upstate of South Carolina with the Stop the FTAA and CAFTA. And to lose the vote that narrowly is frustrating. But folks, what do you expect when you got Republicans, sellout Republicans in the House? I mean, well, how are you actually going to ever win anything? Do you expect anything good to come out from these kind of people? I mean, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get much good coming out of the Republican Party, folks. If you keep voting for them, they're going to go there. If you keep saying, well, I'm not going to waste my vote on a constitutionalist or on a libertarian, well, you know what? You're going to end up with tyranny, and that's what you're getting. Just tyranny. I was just looking at the John Birch Society page here. Here they've got the House passing the CAFTA bill. Let's see what they have to say. Well, they don't actually have anything special. Just saying at midnight it passed, 217 to 215. We already know that. I thought they might have already have some sort of a commentary up. They have not. House is also seeking to strengthen property rights. Washington, an unusual alliance of House lawmakers, introduced a bill Wednesday to try to curb the impact of the Supreme Court ruling last month that allows local governments to take private property for other private uses that they deem to be in the best interest of the public at large. The ruling stirred up a tempest on Capitol Hill, and both hardcore conservatives and hardcore liberals united to block the ruling. Anyone who's ever served at a local level understands what this decision means. It turns all local government everywhere into a kind of carnival of real estate bargains. Cities may now bulldoze private citizens' homes to make way for shopping malls or other developments, says Representative Bob Goodlatte, Republican from Virginia, chairman of the House Agricultural Committee. The High Court's decision gave New London, Connecticut the power to acquire homes adjacent to a Pfizer pharmaceutical factory for real estate development. The court's decision claimed the newly developed property would boost the local economy, increase tax revenue, and allow for better public services. Lawmakers call this a perversion of the Fifth Amendment's protection of private property unless taken for government for public use. We've now stepped through the looking glass with this Supreme Court decision that private is public. Representative Peter DeFazio, believe it or not, is a Democrat from Oregon. If people don't wake up and realize how important private property is to both our freedom and prosperity, then we're going to be in a very serious trouble, Representative John Duncan, Republican from Tennessee, said. The Supreme Court's decision has not only used liberals and conservatives in defense of private property, it has, for the first time, it has, for the first time in recent memory, sensitized a large swath of the public to the dangers of the judicial activism. In response to the court's ruling, one conservative activist asked officials in Weir, New Hampshire, to seize Supreme Court Justice David Souter's two-story farmhouse so he could build a hotel on the property. Souter joined the majority of the 5-4 decision, reshaping property rights. Of course, they denied him that option to take that land. They wouldn't give it to him. They wouldn't take away anything from the Supreme Court justice. Congress is considering numerous bills to block the Supreme Court ruling, even as states rush to write their own private property rules. If you're an American that moves from Florida to Texas, you shouldn't lose a basic fundamental human right because one state might have a different set of rules, Representative Henry Bonilla said, a Republican from Texas. Some voters have asked lawmakers to draft a constitutional amendment, one lawmaker said seems redundant. What are we going to do? The Constitution is very clear. Readopt the Fifth Amendment? Specifically says you can't do this, and somehow they found that it was okay to do it, said Representative Richard Pombo, Republican from California, chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. One leading House bill already introduced would stop the flow of all federal economic aid to any state or local government that seizes private property to be used by another private party, including federal aid for projects unrelated to their property seizure. The bill is slated for a vote this fall. You know what? Well, maybe this will pass. But you know, when you've got the character of people who just voted for CAFTA handling our rights like property, well, we're not going to have much success, folks. It's a discouraging morning in many ways. I mean, God is sovereign. We believe that at Christian Worldview. No matter how tyrannical they get, God is still on the throne. We believe that. But still, as we fight on for these issues and lose, It's a hard thing to face. A little bit discouraging. So we can be encouraged only about when we think about our Lord and His sovereignty this morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes. In knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show,
please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to remind folks that there's the Uncommon Dissent Forum, Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing Conference, going to be held August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Palmetto Expo Center in Greenville, South Carolina. The lecturers include Dr. Michael Behe, Dr. John Campbell, Dr. Jonathan Wells, and Dr. Thomas Woodward, all of them who have written very important books on the subject. Registration is $145. If you're a teacher or student, it's $115. Space is limited, of course. Call 864-288-3456 to register. That's 864-288-3456. Should be a great conference. Hope you can all attend. Also want to remind you that all the announcements that you hear on the Christian Worldview show are here on the Tyranny Response Network website, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. And you're driving along and you're missing a phone number, just remember when you get to the office or back home that you can go to your computer, go to the tyrannyresponse.net website and get all the data that you need there. We also have a calendar of events, of course, that's posted at the under the events tab, so you can know what's going on here in the upstate. Tonight, we have the Greenville County Taxpayers Association. Want to remind you that that's the last event for this month, as far as patriotic or freedom-minded, liberty-promoting events. But we hope you can attend that. However, we will be posting the August calendar here as soon as Rip and Richie gets a chance to do so, probably this weekend. So take a look at tyrannyresponse.com to keep informed on what's the happenings in the upstate as far as movements for freedom and meetings of great importance for you. Also want to remind you that the tyrannyresponse.com website has a contacts tab, and right now the Tyranny Response Network is looking for volunteers. If you're able to help with a very important, great effort, especially now that you see the deterioration and derogation of so many constitutional liberties going passing right before your eyes, please do email the folks at the Tyranny Response Network, click on the contact tab, and send an email requesting that you could know how to be involved, even if you could donate 5 or 10 hours per week, or even less. There are jobs that you can do, and there are things that need to get done here, like producing shows and just being trained on some very technical, fairly simple jobs that most people could do. We have a shortage of manpower like any other volunteer organization. So we would appreciate your help as you consider working with the Tyranny Response Network. Well, we have the cover of National Geographic this month, August 2005. It says, "After oil," and it's got some of these gas pumps from the 1940s and 1950s out in the middle of the desert just sitting there propped up, kind of oil-colored. Looks like they drenched them with oil and let them get dry and kind of have that reddish-brownish appearance to them. Well, what do we think about that? After oil. Of course, it says powering the future. It's just, going on the assumption that oil is, a non-renewable resource. We're running out of oil. There's no way we can possibly live with oil. We have to do something else. Where on earth can energy-hungry society turn to replace oil, coal, and natural gas? And if we try to turn over to page 2, which I'm going to attempt to do here, we find that they continue on with a lot of environmentalist nonsense. That's what this is, after all about, environmentalist nonsense. What does the environmentalist say? It says that, well, our known reserves are not very good for oil. We don't know, where we can find oil for sure. And the limited supplies that we have are going to run out. The problem is we have possible reserves which are enormous, and things which were impossible to get just 10 years ago are possible today because entrepreneurs are always coming up with new technologies to figure out how to get them. The environmentalists have pushed things like solar panels and wind power, things that are very inefficient and don't work very well, even though you put up 10,000 air windmills, like you see they're kind of pretty in either Northern California or Palm Springs. They don't need all of those windmills combined. Do not might match the output of just one typically sized coal-fired electric energy producing plant. So, you know, windmills are not the future. They may, you know, some people may fondly dream that they will be, but they don't even come close to promoting what we need. Well, here's what the article says. Freedom. I stand in a cluttered room surrounded by debris of electrical enthusiasm, wire peeling, snippets of copper, yellow connectors, insulated pliers. For me, these are the tools of freedom. I have just installed a dozen solar panels on my roof, and they work. A meter shows that 1,285 watts of power are blasted straight from the sun into my system, charging my batteries, cooling my refrigerator, humming through my computer, liberating my life. The euphoria of energy freedom is addictive. Don't get me wrong, I love fossil fuels. I live on an island that happens to have no utilities, but otherwise my wife and I have a normal American life. We don't want to want propane refrigerators, kerosene lamps, or composting toilets. We want a lot of electrical outlets and a cappuccino maker. But when I turn on those panels, wow. Maybe that's because for me, as for most Americans, one energy crisis or another has shadowed most of the past three decades, from the OPEC crunch to the 1970s to the skyrocketing cost of oil and gasoline today. The world's concern over energy has haunted presidential speeches, congressional campaigns, disaster books, and my own sense of well-being with the same kind of gnawing unease that characterized the Cold War. As National Geographic reported in June 2004, oil, no longer cheap, may soon decline. As instability where oil is found from the Persian Gulf to Nicaragua to Venezuela makes this lifeline fragile. Natural gas can be hard to transport and is prone to shortages. We won't run out of coal anytime soon or the largely untapped deposits in the sands and oil shale, but it's clear that the carbon dioxide spewed by coal and other fossil fuels is warming the planet. Oh, it's clear. And this magazine is reported last September. Well, here are the environmentalists taking off on this myth about oil. Oil shortages again, and coal causing global warming, other nonsense. We know these things are not true, by the way, folks. There is no evidence that's widely accepted by scientists. The Earth is dramatically warming over the years, and that we've looked now, as we look to the past, we can see a clear trend. It's not, folks. The Earth is not getting warmer because of what human beings do. God is still in control of the environment, after all, and we will not burn up before He wants us to burn up. On the other side of things, oil, as all natural resources, gets cheaper over time. Why do we have temporary increases in oil prices? Because there are government regulations and there are other sanctions issued by the state which cause a temporary shortage on things. And if we were allowed to drill in Alaska, that would help. And even if we didn't have all the oil we needed just from this country, what our production could be now, we would be able to go overseas and efficiently import from other places. People always buy and do things that cause when the price is the lowest, and that's what economics does for you. The free market allocates resources the most effective and efficient way, and we can trust that we have plenty of oil and other things to go around. Don't buy into this nonsense that's spouted out of the National Geographic magazine. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after this break.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to Homeschooler-Friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's another article in the National Geographic liberal rag. You know, if you read enough stuff like this, you begin to actually believe, well, it must all be true, you know? But it's not true. There are all sorts of people who contend this stuff is not true. It's just being rammed down our throats by liberals and leftists. It's an awful thing. Well, this one is, it could be of more interest, perhaps. It's called The World of Weapons, and it shows the places in the world where there are nuclear weapons, there are nuclear weapons facilities. And it has highlighted in a tan color the nuclear weapons nations. Those include the United States, Great Britain, France, Russia, China, India, Pakistan, and Israel. Those are the official nations. They also say that North Korea now probably is a nuclear weapons station. There are, as far as potential nuclear weapons nations, they're capable of developing weapons if they had if they used to have a weapons program in the past. That would be most of the rest of Europe: Algeria, Libya, Brazil, Argentina, Canada, Australia. Those would be your and Japan and South Korea and Taiwan, as well as Kazakhstan in the central of Asia, middle of Asia. Well, of course, the facilities are scattered all around the world, and it shows that the estimated number of warheads still in Russia are 16,000 warheads. The United States has 10,350, China 400, France 350, United Kingdom has 200, Israel 200, Pakistan 24 to 48, India 30 to 35, and North Korea has 6 to 8. So those are the number of warheads. I don't know if they have the delivery, what's necessary to deliver them or not, but at any rate, they're armed for apocalypse, as it says here in the National Geographic. It shows a picture of some folks who created some bomb shelters back in the 1950s. Man, cement-covered little shack there that people would jump, you know, run down into that little hole to make sure that they could be safe from the output from nuclear blast. The terrible beauty of a hydrogen bomb blast fills the sky, 1962 U.S. test site over the Pacific Ocean. It shows the picture of the blast, as many things we've seen, and how ground zero will be affected. This is an interesting thought. Again, from a Christian worldview point of view, we're not real happy with the idea of nuclear attacks. Why? Because innocent people will be killed. That's why. That's, you know, as a Christian, you have an obligation to do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. And if you have an obligation to defend your family and so forth, you do need to take up arms. I agree. This self-defense is important. It's in fact, all of the entire theory of government is based on the premise of self-defense, that we collectively do what we can't do individually. The whole idea of having criminal justice for the same reason is a way of defending ourselves without vigilantism. without passion, without vengeance. It's a way that we can have a civil society. Can't complain about that sort of thing. We need defense, but we do not need nuclear bombs. Why? Well, I know you can't get rid of them. They're here to stay. I'm not denying any of that sort of thing. But a nuclear bomb, when it's shot at another country and it's dropped at another country, it will kill people that had, it could be Christians, but other than that, could be people that had nothing to do with the war or the aggression caused by that country. And to kill innocent people intentionally, that's the key word there, is murder. To know that you can't avoid killing innocent people and going ahead and killing them anyway is murder. You can't justify the fact that they're guilty by association, that they live in the wrong political structure, that they should be living in another country, that as soon as, you know, George Bush ran to power, or Saddam Hussein, or whatever other evil dictator we might have going on, not that George Bush is as evil as Saddam, but at any rate, whoever it might be that you have in power, doesn't mean that you have to leave all of a sudden because you don't have, because you don't agree with their policy or because they get aggressive. There's no justification to go ahead and kill you because you happen to live near the guy or in the guy's country. It's a sad state of affairs when this sort of thing happens. So we're greatly concerned when we think about nuclear weapons because they are capable of destroying innocent human life without any concern or intentionally, I should say. Now, innocent people die in every war. It's a tragedy of any kind of warfare, even a war that's just war of self-defense. That's unavoidable, and I don't know how else you can possibly fix that problem. But nevertheless, if we find here that nuclear weapons are proliferating and they're in the hands of nutty people, and it's a scary thought. Glad we serve a sovereign God, and the world will not end, and our lives will not end without His will being served. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come to the top of the hour, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And right now in the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport area, 75 degrees. Downtown, 79. Clemson, 78. Today, partly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, humid with highs in the lower 90s. North winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming south this afternoon. The chance of rain is 50%.
I was just thinking about self-defense again and what I was taught early on in, as a Christian, and how incorrect this actually was, this doctrine I was taught. I was told, I asked a person, I said, why in the world would a Christian who is supposed to turn the other cheek want to defend himself? And look, the apostles didn't defend themselves when they were killed, or the martyrs didn't. So what's the story? And I remember a pastor telling me when I was a young man, probably, 18, 19 years old, well, what happens, or maybe it was even 16 or 17 years old, well, what happens is you can defend yourself against any robber that might come around, or thug that might want to harm you or your family. That's okay. But as soon as they declare that they're going to kill you because you're for the sake of the gospel, because you're preaching the gospel, because you're doing the work of the ministry, that you're going to become a martyr, you no longer can defend yourself. And as I began to reflect on that later in life, I began to realize this is really arbitrary. There's nothing in the scripture which declares that we have to just, as soon as someone declares their intention to kill us and make us a martyr because of our faith, that we have to just take it and we have to die. And the idea that the Apostle Paul thought that is even more preposterous. Now, it's pretty clear that the Christians had no choice but to be martyred. I mean, they faced overwhelming power. There was no chance that they could escape or avoid being killed. Of course, God in His providence was permitting all of this to happen. But that's normal. That's the normal course of affairs, folks, that might happen if they had the opportunity to defend themselves and actually win, or even not win, still going to die either way, but had the opportunity to defend themselves, then they should do so. Why not? If you're, answer that question for us. Why not? Let's assume that you're about to be put to death for preaching the gospel, and you're able to sneak in a .45 caliber under your vest somehow, and take a couple of shots at the evil perpetrators who are trying to kill you for being a gospel preacher. Why is it wrong to do that? Now, maybe it is wrong, but I'd like to hear somebody give some biblical evidence of why, or support, it's called biblical evidence, just some doctrine out of the Bible, why it would be wrong to defend ourselves against criminal judges or whatnot that want to put us to death for preaching the gospel. And why do we have the right to defend ourselves in our homes if a robber comes in, but not the state? If the state comes in and wants to kill you, then you have to submit. That's another one you've heard about. You hear the implication of that I have in the past, at any rate. Yeah, it's different with them. Well, I don't think so, and neither do the American founding fathers. When you get a tyrannical state, people that are willing to take away your life for arbitrary purposes and for unjust purposes, shoot them. What's the problem with that? I know some people are, the hair in the back of their neck must be raised up and right now, and they're just pondering, "Whoa, what are you saying?" Well, what I'm saying is, if Christians have the right of self-defense, why are there any bounds against any criminal that would attack them? I'm not talking about Christians becoming aggressors. I'm talking about someone's trying to kill them, kill their family, attack them. Why can't they defend themselves in any circumstance? And why is there any reason why there would be a circumstance in which they could not defend themselves? Other than the obvious one, where they have no ability to defend themselves. They have no way to get control of weapons, or they face overwhelming power. It's an interesting question. Just thought it'd come up, and I thought I'd bring it in. Well, I'd like to talk with Stephen Yates about what he says about the CAFTA arrangement. And Stephen Yates is on the line right now, and we'd like to welcome you, Dr. Stephen Yates, this morning to Christian Worldview. Of course, we've been lamenting early today about the end of free America. Actually, free America ended in 1865 at Appomattox, but this is another horrible thing, don't you think so? Good morning, by the way.
Oh, thanks. See, I've been awake for about an hour now. That was the first thing I found out when I opened this morning's paper, was that, the basic facts, the final vote was 217 to 215, which is hardly an overwhelming. In fact, this is even narrower than what happened in the Senate a month ago. Let's see, they held the vote for, it took an hour to get that result. And I guess the question on a lot of people's minds is, where do we go from here? Well, one thing I've been thinking of is certain individuals, including a certain 4th District representative, should be targeted for defeat.
You're speaking of Bob Inglis?
Election.
Yeah. Bob Inglis.
I wasn't going to say the name, but...
Oh, no, we're not afraid to say the name. We call these we call these scoundrels out immediately. As soon as they do something wicked like this, we like to tell people about it. They broke their campaign promises. They're liars. They're Republicans. They're scumbags, and they need to be ousted. So I'll say it for you. Anyway, we've already said that earlier today, but please
continue
on.
Okay, well, I was trying to be polite, but you know me.
Yeah.
But... So speaking of Bob Inglis, I was at that Let's Talk that he did in Spartanburg on Monday. The Spartanburg Republican machine was there out in force, and so were we. But it was interesting that the main objections to CAFTA were all made. The sovereignty issue, the fact that CAFTA essentially violates the Constitution. And Andy Molenbrock brought out the specifics. He read the specific passages in the Constitution that are violated by CAFTA, and Inglis did not have a response. He basically just stood there. It was almost funny.
Yeah. It's not funny this morning, though, is it?
Excuse me, I didn't catch that.
I just said it's not funny this morning, seeing what
No.
Yeah.
But now we'll have to see what happens. And maybe there's hope that we won't see the same thing we saw with NAFTA, and that 2 years from now we won't be reading about a mass exodus of jobs to Central America.
Well, I think it's going to be far worse than that. We've seen the complete deterioration of the Constitution over the years, and the Kelo case was just one. The South Carolina Coastal Commission was another, and there have been many other property rights cases. This is another assault against American sovereignty. It undermines the principles of liberty, that undermines our American way of life. And that's one of the most egregious things. And Stephen, if you can hold on during the
terrible.
Yes, if you can hold on during the break, we need to run to a quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk just a little bit about the actual undermining. What some of these judiciary hierarchies that are going to be placed over us now, and some of the other compromising pieces of this legislation that are going to be affecting us over the coming years.
Okay.
You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. On the line with us now, we have Dr. Stephen Yates, and he's been scurrying through his Adobe PDF Acrobat Reader, whatever that thing's called, to find the CAFTA agreement. Did you happen to find that during the break so we could read the preamble, Stephen?
Yes, I have the preamble from CAFTA right in front of me. And it's two pages of text, fairly short, although the CAFTA document itself is thousands of pages, of course. And you have to wonder why we need all those pages to have an agreement about free trade. Yeah. But the preamble of CAFTA speaks specifically about the need to, and I am quoting directly here, contribute to hemispheric integration and provide an impetus toward establishing the free trade area of the Americas. There it is in black and white.
Mm-hmm. No conspiracy there. They've come right out and said what they're planning to do with this. What else does it say in that preamble?
Let me see. If you scroll up a little, you see a reference to, let's see, implement this agreement in a manner consistent with environmental protection and conservation, which looks okay, but then it says, promote sustainable development.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you have that.
And sustainable development is just a buzzword. It's sort of a code word, really, for socialism on a more globalized scale.
Well, yeah, if you Google sustainable development by itself, and I, by the way, I could encourage people to read my article in the latest Times Examiner, which focuses on sustainable development. If you Google the phrase itself, you will get 18 million hits,
wow,
which tells you something is going on.
Yeah. No question about it. And the sustainable development movement and the environmentalist movement, as well as the other, you know, pagan movements that go along with this, have been big in public schools or government schools or what we call pagan seminaries. And it's been spreading through the like wildfire through the news media. We were just reading a National Geographic front cover that just gives you no doubt that we are running out of oil, that we need to go to these alternative energy sources, that human beings are contributing to global warming. A lot of things that are taken as myths by people like Ronald Bailey and Julian Simon, high-quality academics as well. And I'm not sure I even qualify these other people as high-quality academics. that promote these catastrophic doomsayer kind of scenarios. But then,
it's important to get the science right.
That's right. And once they have a doomsayer scenario, then they can get people scared enough into needing hemispheric agreements like CAFTA or FTAA. Because after all, if we don't have this, we'll completely destroy the ozone layer or run out of some natural resources, and we'll all die. And therefore, we got to have this thing, folks. You got to vote for it.
It's an application of Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Get it right there. It's still early in the morning. It's a creative crisis, provoke a reaction, ending with a power grab.
Yes, exactly. Well, what are some of the other egregious things we have here in this act, this CAFTA business? Is there anything else that you've been able to you can pull up for us quickly, just to let people know?
Well, the first thing on the preamble, since I still have it, to strengthen the special bonds of friendship and cooperation among the nations, which sounds all warm and fuzzy, and then it says promote regional economic integration. Well, they said the same thing about the European Union. That was originally sold to Europeans as a free trade zone. Mm-hmm. Now we had two nations repudiate its constitution on the basis of sovereignty issues. They wanted to preserve their national sovereignty.
Yes.
Nations that had problems, but they were their problems.
Right.
And it's the same now.
Hmm. Well, what is our future under CAFTA then? I mean, what can we really expect to happen? I mean, we talked about possible job loss and so forth, but beyond that, let's talk about what's going to happen with their court hierarchy, for instance. What's it going to do to undermine American liberties?
Well, my understanding is, based on other provisions in CAFTA, and I'll see if I can pull up a specific here, is that it would allow foreign bureaucrats to dictate official policy here. Now, the term is government procurement, and that's in Chapter 9 of CAFTA.
Okay. Now, this is normally had to be a treaty, and the reason they didn't want to call this a treaty and called it an agreement is simply because they didn't have to get two-thirds of the Senate and the House to confirm it that way.
Exactly. It's the in-run around the Constitution, something these people have gotten good at.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would definitely have to be a treaty, just like they now declare wars without Congress really declaring the war first. They do end-runs around the Constitution, and this speaks horrors for our liberty as Americans. Why are people, you wonder, still voting for Republicans? I mean, Republicans are the ones that do this stuff. Not that Democrats are any better, but it's time to bail out and vote for the Libertarian candidate or the Constitution Party candidate and forget about these scumbags that come up there and just deny us our rights. It's awful. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I was looking at something of maybe about 15 minutes before I called in where they actually quoted a Democrat. It was House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, whom I seldom agree with about anything, stated that she opposed the PAC, and Democrats were opposing CAFTA, not because they oppose free trade, but because they were against a flawed agreement.
Ugh. Man.
Now, I don't know if she means the same thing by that we mean, but we'll take the support where we can get it at this point.
That's right. And, of course, now that we've lost this crucial vote, it goes to the next level, the FTAA. Tell you what, Stephen, while you're looking up some more of that stuff, I want to talk some more about FTAA because I think this is a huge, important issue and people need to be aware of it. We need to go to a quick break, and I'd like to ask my producer here if he can play the Bill of Rights spot, because Americans need to be reminded of the Bill of Rights. So we got a few minutes, Stephen, to load up for Bear with a few things that we can point out about these hierarchical structures and whatnot, these bureaucrats being able to dictate how we should live here in America. And if you can hold on for just a second, we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. With me on the line here is Dr. Stephen Yates, who is an expert on CAFTA and has been a great opponent of CAFTA before it was passed, and also the FTAA. I want to remind you before we go back to talking with Dr. Yates here that the Sacred House Slaughterhouse is now our afternoon show. Starts at 4:30. Goes till 6. It's hosted by Rippin' Richie Williams and Bob Llewellyn. It's been a great week for them starting out their new show, and hope you have a chance to tune into that in the afternoon as you're driving back home. Well, Stephen, what do you think? What are some of these provisions here that you have that are specifically egregious in undermining our sovereignty and undermining the Constitution?
Well, one specific one occurs in Article 9, Section 2, General Principles under Government Procurement. And I don't know whether to just to read this bureaucratic gobbledygook or try to explain what it seems to mean. Well, I'll read it. With respect to any measure covered by this chapter, each party, those are the nations agreeing to the pact, each party shall accord to the goods and services of another party and to the suppliers of another party of such goods and services treatment no less favorable than the most favorable treatment the party or procuring entity accords to its own goods, services, and suppliers. Now, we were discussing this at the last Constitution Party and in a couple of other sessions, and basically we figured out that what that means is that if somebody from a Central American company were to open up a facility right next to you, you could not give favorable treatment to Americans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so now they're saying, how are they going to determine who gets favorable treatment? Who's going to decide whether or not there's treatment's been unfair, for instance?
Well, what CAFTA does is if it follows the tradition established by NAFTA, is to set up international tribunals of bureaucrats to decide these things.
Yeah.
And if they decide that you've given favorable treatment to someone by hiring Americans, then they can basically force the federal government to come down on states and on local governments and local companies and say they violated CAFTA rules.
Huh. Now, where would these courts be located?
Well, I don't really know that. They could be located anywhere, I suppose.
Okay. Well, this is egregious. What other thing do we have? We're gonna have another break to come up to again, and we'll hold through. But I mean, have you got another one real quickly here that might undermine our sovereignty, Stephen? Are you there?
Yes, you faded out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had we're talking about these egregious intrusions into American liberties. Do you have another one handy before we go to our next break?
Well, one thing I did during the last break was to call up the website for the Summit of the Americas, because one of the things that we could stress is that originally there was no CAFTA. It was basically cooked up by the Bush administration right around the start of 2003, when it was clear that they were that their attempt to institute the FTAA was coming up with resistance. So they decided they needed an intermediary step. Now, the FTAA, the campaign for that began back in the mid-1990s. The first Summit of the Americas was in Miami in 1994. They put themselves on a 10-year timetable, which meant that 2005 was the year that they wanted the FTAA to be laid in place. Now, there's a big summit coming up in Argentina in November of this year. They describe it as creating jobs to fight poverty and strengthen democratic governance.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, this obsession with building democracy.
Well,
I don't know about you guys, but I've always defined democracy as two wolves and a sheep fighting over what, or taking a vote over what to have for dinner.
Yes, precisely. And if we read the Iraqi Bill of Rights, which we've done several times here on the show, in this new constitution, we find in there very clear provisions for so-called social justice, which is a buzzword meaning socialism, socialized medicine, government education for pagan seminaries or Islamic seminaries over there, guaranteed employment contracts, welfare, abridgment of rights, housing rights, feminism, gun restrictions, supports government support of arts and sciences, common ownership of natural resources, and the state virtue promotion of what it considers to be virtue and morals. It's an egregious, terrible thing. And the idea that this would be thrust upon us by some international board because of CAFTA is a scary thought. It's a horrible thing that that we're going to be facing. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're jumping to our bottom of the hour break. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Yates this morning about the impact of CAFTA. If you have a call or a question, please do give us a shout on the backup line, which is 864-201-6955. 864-201-6955. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now in the Greenville-Spartanburg airport area, it's 75 degrees. Downtown, it's 79 degrees. Clemson, 78 degrees. Partly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Humid with highs in the lower 90s and a chance of rain is 50%.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this morning. Interesting discussions about the CAFTA agreement. We're going to put that on pause just for a second as we talk about a few other stories. Dr. Stephen Yates is with us on the line, but he'd like to take a couple minutes to review, see if we can find a few things that would be of interest for the show here. We sort of got Dr. Yates on short notice this morning. Of course, the CAFTA agreement went through just about 8.5 hours ago, so it's really sort of new to everybody here. We're just trying to find some of the most egregious provisions of it. Well, Joyce sent in an email this morning. I thought this was interesting or she actually sent in a link. Thought it'd be interesting for the listeners, and I think she's right. How Internet Freedom Got the Federal Axe and Why Corporate News Censored the Story, a BuzzFlash guest contribution by Elliot Cohen, Ph.D. Elliot says the following: the days are now numbered for surfing an uncensored open access internet. This is on rents.com, by the way, R-E-N-S-E.com. Using your favorite search engine to search a bottomless cyber sea of information in the grandest democratic forum ever conceived by humankind. Instead, you can look forward to Googling about on a walled-off, carefully selected corpus of government propaganda and sanitized information safe for public consumption. Indoctrinated and sealed off from the outer world, you will inhabit a matrix where every ounce of creative independent thinking that challenges government policies and values will be squelched. Just as a wild conspiracy theory, you say, no longer can this rationally be maintained. The federal government, from the Federal Communications Commission to the White House and corporate mainstream media, have worked cooperatively to quietly block open access to cyberspace. Seizing its infrastructure, corporate mainstream media have censored and covered up its logistical moves, including lobbies in Congress and the FCC. The filing of suits in state and federal courts and quid pro quo with the highest government officials, the commandeer, monopolized turned the internet into an extension of itself. From Fox News to CNN, there has been a dead silence on this greatest bastion of democracy in history is being torn down and resurrected in its own image. Now, as the corporate newsroom remains mum, it has gotten its green light from the highest federal court of the land. On June 27th, 2005, in a 6-3 decision, National Cable and Telecommunications Association versus Brandex Internet Services, the United States Supreme Court ruled that giant cable companies like Comcast and Verizon are not required to share their cables with any other Internet service providers. The court opinion, written by Justice Clarence Thomas, was fashioned to serve corporate interests. Instead of taking up the question of whether the corporate monopolies would destroy the open access architecture of the internet, it used sophistry and legally suspect arguments to obscure its constitutional duty to protect media diversity, free speech, and the public interest. The court accepted the FCC's conclusion and reached in 2002 that cable companies don't offer telecommunications services according to the meaning of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which defines telecommunication purely in terms of transmission of information among or between users. We won't read the rest of the story, but this is interesting food for thought for us, because on the one hand, we're very concerned that government might be able to regulate what is allowed to be seen on the internet. Now, we might say, well, in some ways that's good. Maybe they'll snuff out pornography. Well, maybe they will, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll increase it for all we know. But on the other hand, they could also snuff out anybody who opposes the Bush policies or the policies of Congress, and that is very dangerous. On the other hand, we have to say this much, when we look at Supreme Court rulings like this, not that we trust the Supreme Court tremendously, but Clarence Thomas is one of the better ones, obviously, on the bench who wrote that opinion that they refer to. If private markets are providing internet service, they have the legal, constitutional, and otherwise freedom to do what they want with their business. If they want to say, no smoking in this part of the restaurant, and they're in a particular restaurant industry, that's their choice. They might lose some customers, that's true, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing to give them the freedom to do what they want with their private property. So if Cox Cable and Warner, wherever these other places are, want to have control over what's put on their particular network, they should have the freedom to do so. And if people don't like it, then other providers will rise up in their place to say that we are the ones that are truly free. I don't have a problem, in other words, with the free market dictating to us exactly what is best for internet viewing, because the free market has a way, means of checks and balances by through consumer activism and through just consumers making their choices and what to buy or not buy, that will make a remedy immediately or in short order for any deficiencies caused by firms. What I'm concerned about is governments being able to regulate it, using the power of the state, the unlimited resources of the state, to decide what I can or cannot see, what I may or may not see and read on the internet. That's of greater concern, and I think you can appreciate the difference. So as long as markets do it, I have no problem with it. If it's government doing the censorship, I've got a huge problem with it, and I appreciate Joyce sending in that very interesting article out of rents.com this morning. Well, we have a couple other things before we go to our mid-session breaks and then come back to Stephen Yates. LouRockwell.com has an article called Protecting the Children that's up, and this is written by James Glasser. We as a society have responsibility for the generation that comes after us, just as our parents did for us. Sometimes people think when their children make it to the drinking or smoking age, they are on their own and can decide for themselves what is right. Close-knit families, some might say, Christian families, seem to extend that period of responsibility longer. Many parents who would be surprised in how much some of their older children still want their advice. Somehow our government has decided that they have a right to send salesmen into our high schools. Military recruiters can have a shot at vulnerable young adults, some as young as 13. In our local school, which has all the grades in one building, every child gets to see this nice army man. These recruiters can wear dashing uniforms with medals and ribbons, or they come looking ready for combat in their desert fatigues. One way or the other, they are going to impress a wide segment of the student body. The only thing between these recruiters and a student signing on the dotted line is the child's parents. Today, because Washington is so desperate for bodies, children are allowed to go to boot camp between junior and senior year. Then when they finish their senior year, they're already locked in to go. The No Child Left Behind provision education program has a clause in it that will cut a school's funding if they try to protect their children by having recruiters stay out of the school. Many parents are taking their responsibility seriously and are counseling their children to not sign up. They are giving them alternatives like college or vocational school. These are not as exciting as the television ad that portrays life in the Marines as fighting dragons or the adventure of dropping out of a helicopter into the ocean as seen in the Army ad. Parents have a lot to compete with, but many children in America today are trusting those parents who they know love them. Eric Schmidt writes in the New York Times, July 24, 2005, that Lieutenant General Franklin L. Hedgenbach, the Army's top personnel officer, acknowledged this week that the service will probably miss its recruiting goal for this year, the first admission by a senior Army official, and stark reminder of Iraq War's impact on the enlistment. It is also a reminder of how powerful a parent's loving advice can be. Brad Edmonds, writing for LouRockwell.com, reminds us, note that children of congressmen, military officers, and corporate executives rarely are killed in these wars. It's a sad fact, and we read that article yesterday. It's a great article by Brad Edmonds. It's a sad fact that many parents in this country do not have alternatives to offer to their children just because of the family's economic situation. Military service can be enticing. Well, it is indeed, but it's a great comment for Jim Glasser to call to parents to take charge, to make some inroads and advise your children appropriately. Of course, one of the best things you can do is get them out of these pagan seminaries, these government schools, these so-called public schools where they're going to become indoctrinated and then exposed to the nonsense that can be spewed forth from the Bush administration or elsewhere in our government system. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coe. We're going to jump to our middle of the hour break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk with Stephen Yates again about some of these CAFTA provisions. We'll be right back.
Faith and Legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. That was last night. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And on the Tyranny Response Network's website is tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. And if you go to the related media section, you'll find a couple things of interest there. I want to remind you that the petition for the South Carolina Fundamental Rights to save your private property and so forth is located at the bottom. It's an online signature that you can leave there in about 30 seconds. We'd encourage you, if you have not signed the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, to do so. Click the link and sign your name there and let people know in Congress that you want them to have in the State House in South Carolina to declare in South Carolina that natural rights are fundamental rights and are inalienable. They cannot be taken away or derogated by the state. That's the right that you have to life, liberty, and property. Again, go to tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Go to the related media section and scroll down until you find that link for the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Join the 280 people who have already signed the petition.
And one other announcement, the Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coven, Dr. Stephen Yates, who is holding with us now on the line, as well as nationally syndicated columnists like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell and Marvin Olasky, and a number of other local favorites like Ben Graydon. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 if you want a copy sent to your home for that amazingly low price. In addition to that, if you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817 and ask for David in particular by name. Well, Stephen, you're back on the air again, and we want to talk about the CAFTA provision and some of the egregious things that they've done. We've only got about 10 minutes or a little less than 10 minutes now left in the show, but what else have you found for us that's interesting for us to note?
Okay, Chapter 17 is on environment. And there's a provision in Article 17.5 for the creation of an Environmental Affairs Council. Let me just read this. The parties hereby establish an Environmental Affairs Council comprising cabinet-level or equivalent representatives of the parties or their designees. Each party shall designate an office in its appropriate ministry that shall serve as a contact point for carrying out the work of the council. Well, there's the creation of an international bureaucracy right there.
Yes, without any question. That's incredible. Go ahead and elaborate some more, David. Stephen.
Now, if you scroll down further in that chapter, I'm doing so right now. I'm not there yet. Article 17.9 speaks of environmental cooperation. The parties recognize, I'm reading from the first paragraph, the parties recognize the importance of strengthening capacity to protect the environment and to promote sustainable development in concert with strengthening trade and investment relations.
Hmm.
So there's that again.
Yeah, and so
now,
maybe
we should clarify, just within the context of a Christian worldview, there's nothing wrong with caring about the environment. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You know, we are given dominion over the earth in a Christian worldview. At least that's my reading of it, is that we are to be good stewards.
Correct.
But this radical environmentalism that's involved in sustainable development, and now we've seen that this is just built right into CAFTA,
mm-hmm.
basically turns that on its head. It elevates nature over man.
Yes, that's right. It puts man back into a Darwinian framework and says you're just another animal like anyone else. You have no right to lord it over these things or to destroy and deplete natural resources that occur in the Earth's crust at a rate that they think is unsustainable, or to so-called pollute the air and do things that normal production leaves behind. What we're saying, and it's a Christian worldview point of view, is we need to be good stewards of resources and of animals, but that we can use these things for man's good, because we are actually the highest creation of God, and we have the authority from God himself to take dominion over all of these things and use them wisely for his glory. And that's the huge difference between the Darwinian materialistic framework, is it not, and our own. And CAFTA, you're saying, is promoting the Darwinian materialism.
It's just built right into it, yeah.
Right. Well, that's a horrible thought. It's sad to see that it goes through, and it'll fly so well because people have been, you know, government school educated and indoctrinated. This is good stuff. And it all sounds pretty good on the surface until you start picking apart exactly what they mean by their little phrases like sustainable development or, you know, sustainable environmental growth or cautious environmentalism. Those are
from the smart growth,
yes,
things like that. Certain phrases leap out at you when you're skimming. I don't know anybody who could put up with reading more than 30 to 40 pages of this stuff at once. I wonder who they get to write this stuff.
Well, it probably is not libertarians or constitutionalists. It must be somebody else. At any rate. Well, what else have we got in there? We've just got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show here, but is there anything else egregious in there that we might want to have listeners know about from this CAFTA agreement? Well, while you're scanning,
that isn't enough.
it's enough, but I mean, it's just we wanted to dedicate a large portion of our show today to CAFTA because we want people to realize that this is not just a benign, innocuous, or even inert kind of agreement. There are some real problems from the trade side economically that can be raised. But even more egregious are the compromising positions that the CAFTA agreement puts us into, in terms of losing our sovereignty and losing the force of the Constitution. These international tribunals that can now be over American citizens is very bad, or American business.
The whole thing is more about regional integration than it is about trade. Trade is really just integrated into that in a way that's not quite separable from it.
Yes. And what indeed will happen to the United States of America as we have this sort of regional integration? We'll have to see what surprising things will occur. Probably you will have many American firms running down to Central America to set up shop, so to speak, because I imagine they're going to have far greater expanded powers to do that there. Well, we will see a lot of transformation of the current job structure and the allocation of resources. That's clear. But I'm sort of interested to know what's going to happen in terms of people migrating here now into the United States and how that's going to be affected. Those people who live in those countries don't always have the technological or productivity know-how or the productivity that Americans have, and you kind of wonder if we're just getting McAllen, Texas's popping up everywhere, and we'll have the Dominicans here and the Panamanians there, and you know how many folks will actually cross the border and set up shop here, and what the effect of all that will be.
Well, the effect, immediate or long term, will be to drive down wages here.
For certain kinds of jobs, I would think that would be probably be the case. And what else would we have?
Well, if you have basically a dissolving of the borders, where anybody can migrate anywhere, in a way that quote unquote solves the illegal immigration problem, doesn't it?
Well, I guess there won't be any such thing as illegal immigration any longer from Mexico or from any of these Central American countries. Isn't that right under CAFTA?
Yeah, but you do have an explanation of why the Bush administration has done virtually nothing about illegal immigration. And it also kind of puts belie to their claim that they are protecting us from terrorism.
Yeah.
Because it's almost unquestionable that terrorists could get across our southern border.
Yes.
If they want to.
Right. Well, it seems pretty easy to do. They just drive over. Probably from Canada, too. If they landed something up in the colder parts and drove through somebody's farmland over by Saskatchewan, I imagine they could get in as well. But anyway, Stephen, this has been very informative. I'm sure glad you joined us here on Christian Worldview this morning. We've actually reached the end of the show. It's 9 o'clock, and so we're going to have to sign off. But thanks again for being on the show with us today.
Sure.
And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today. We look forward to having you back tomorrow for another exciting edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.